So let's pray and let's finish Psalm 23. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, when we come in here disheveled and not put, everything's not as it should and we're not ready. Lord, you still meet with us. When our minds and hearts are running around and we're worried about everything else in the world other than what we should, you still meet with us. Lord, our prayer is really so simple. Matter of fact, Lord, all of the requests, all of our prayers that we can make are really boiled down to this. Oh God, please don't leave us to ourselves. You do a work. Do that work in us. As we gather together, your children, your family, with all of our frailties, with all of our creatureness, all of our brokenness, you do a work in us. Not because we've sang so beautifully, or we've prayed so wonderfully, or we've gone to Sunday school, Lord, but that we have come and we've met you face to face. Do this work that honors you. Grant us repentance. Change our lives for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23. And so, as you know, as many of you know, Rebecca is moving to New Hampshire. And she got moved up. Her job started early, so we are leaving actually tomorrow morning to drive to the wonderful state of New Hampshire. I didn't even know New Hampshire was... What now? I didn't even know New Hampshire was in part of the Union. So I didn't know it was in America. So it's barely in America, but we're driving her up there and she starts her job. And so I now have one child that is officially off the payroll. Amen. That's right. That's right. So hopefully another one's right around the corner and then another, it'll be like dominoes from there. So, little does he know is what Rodney said. y'all are supposed to encourage me. That was encouraging. Okay. Well, we're leaving in the morning now and next week, next Sunday, Michael Hilliard will be here to share with you guys. So I want you to come and encourage Michael, a young minister in our association, and the Lord is doing a great work through Michael. And I want you to he's been here, him and his wife and his two boys. So please be here love on Michael and encourage him in his calling. So we'll be leaving tomorrow morning and we'll be back the following Sunday. So, and you need to be ready for Isaiah 56 and 57. So we're going to plow through it. It's a great two chapters. And, the Lord will finish up Isaiah like that. It'll be done. It's only taken a mere 2 years to get through it. So, flying through Isaiah. So, Psalm 23, as I shared with you last week, Charles Spurgeon The prince of preachers called this psalm the pearl of the Psalms. He also said that this psalm, it will not fold its wings until the last pilgrim is safe and time is ended. This is a psalm that even though you are very familiar with, I'm sure all of you are extremely familiar with this psalm. This psalm is also something that I think is in some ways misunderstood. And I think it's misunderstood because of familiarity with it. Last week we looked at basically just one verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And what that means and how truly those that one verse could stand by itself. And as we looked at it, we saw that the Lord is my shepherd really is all that we need to cling to. The Lord is my shepherd. And if He is your shepherd, and I hope He is, then what is it that we could possibly be in want? Because He is a good shepherd, is He not? And as we look at the rest of the five verses in this psalm, we see it kind of unfolds. It really, the rest of the five verses really explains what the first verse means. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. If you want a title to the remaining five verses, you could sit and say there are six things that you, as if the Lord is your shepherd, if you are in Christ Jesus, if Jesus is your good shepherd, there are six things that you, as a believer, that you do not lack in life. And that's really what the five verses, the remaining verses in this psalm, our song, what it gives us. The six things that we do not lack. So the first thing we touched on last week, and I'm going to touch on briefly, the first thing that you do not lack is this. You shall not lack rest. You don't lack rest. And you may say, wait a minute, preacher, you don't know. I'm wore out. I'm tired. Right? Amen? Aren't we tired? Yes. But we're tired for a different reason. We're tired because we live in a broken, corrupt, sin-filled world. We're worn out. But we have a great hope. And as I shared with you last week in Matthew 11:28 was one of the verses that I shared. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." He also said in John 14, in that great passage when they were in the upper room, the night, just literally a few hours before his arrest in John 14, before Jesus was arrested in the garden, Jesus said to them, knowing what the disciples were about to face and the turmoil that really was going to happen in their world, how it was going to be. When I say turned upside down, that's literally an understatement, where He knew what they were facing. And He said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's an amazing statement. That is an amazing word of encouragement in what our Lord, our Good Shepherd, was saying, knowing what they were going to go through. that Jesus, the sovereign God of the universe, who sees all and knows all, who holds all things in His hands, and knowing the trouble, the struggles, the pains that they were going to face, He tells them not to be troubled of heart, not to be afraid. This is a sign of a mature believer. We talk often here at New Hope about don't be a Chicken Little Christian, right? We discuss this often, that the sky is not falling, right? And if it does fall, why? Then we know there's a reason for it to fall, right? And we trust our Lord above everything else. We don't trust our emotions. We don't trust our feelings. We don't trust our fears, our anxieties, our insecurities. We don't trust those things. We trust God. So in that, we can find great rest, right? That there is no panic in heaven. Things don't happen, and God doesn't call a committee meeting with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and go, what are we going to do? There's no wrinkle on the brow of God. He is sitting on this throne. There's no panic in heaven. And so, why do we, and we're about to see, why do we often have times of panic in our lives? We're going to see that in the rest of these five verses. But we, as sheep, need to remind ourselves first who God is. And secondly, that He's our shepherd, right? He's our shepherd. He's our Father. Listen, there's nobody's, I know we've talked about this, there's nobody's daddy on the playground of this world that can beat your daddy up. You got me? Your daddy's the biggest. Y'all remember those days when the only comeback you had after getting whipped, everybody in here has gotten whipped on the playground at least once. After getting whipped, the only thing you had left was, well, my dad can beat up your dad. Some of y'all are saying, I don't know about that. But this is the point. On this place called Earth, your daddy is the biggest. You have nothing to worry about. And so when Jesus tells His disciples, which He's telling us, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And He tells us, peace I leave with you, and My peace I give you. My peace, not the world's peace. And don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. We need to take that to heart, right? So we see we don't lack rest. Now, as we're going to see through this, sheep are really the most needy of all cattle animals. They're extremely needy animals. And they constantly get themselves in trouble. So we're going to read. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 in the first half of verse 3. So it says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That's the rest. So our Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. He will stop us if he needs to. And he leads me beside the still waters. Sheep won't drink in running water, and the waters have to be still for them to be able to drink from it. To be able to eat in the pasture, they have to feel safe. There can't be any struggle. There can't be any conflict. As we were saying last week, that in Peru, when we would go to up into the Andes Mountains, that the sheep, if you want to call them the black sheep or the sheep that would stray often, the shepherd would go get those sheep, bring them back, and tie them leg to leg on one side, tie the bad sheep to a good sheep so that they would learn obedience and learn to follow and do what's right. I was talking with Gene earlier this week, and he was sharing a story about, and I've never seen this, but I actually Googled it. You know, you can find anything on the Google, right? And it's all true. Of a guy training wild horses and tying a wild horse to a donkey, tying them together to train them. And so we see that a shepherd's care for sheep, because sheep will continue, a bad sheep. And listen, New Hope is full of bad sheep. That's why God brought y'all here to New Hope. Amen? I know y'all. And he's tying all of us together for us to learn obedience and trust him most. Amen? I need y'all. Y'all need me. We need each other. And so in this finding green pastures and still waters, He is helping us where we find rest. But hear me, New Hope. As much as you guys love Jesus, as much as I see in y'all a passion to pursue Christ, doesn't it always amaze you how we get caught up in everything else? Doesn't it shock you a little bit that you have to sit back and go, why am I so worried about this? And why am I not more worried about my walk with Jesus? Right? To love Christ most. To trust Christ most. To find rest. New Hope, listen, you will never, ever, ever find rest outside of Jesus. Right? It's really that simple. But we are like sheep, right? That go astray, right? But he is a good shepherd. And he, as the scripture says very plainly, makes us lie down. That's good. Right? Leads us to still waters. He does this for our rest. So that is the first point. The first thing is we shall not lack rest. And we kind of covered that last week. Second thing is, you shall not lack life. 3a. 3a says this. He restores my soul. This is an interesting concept here. The Lord restores me to physical health. The Lord restores my life. He restores my soul. If you have ever read a shepherd's look at Psalm 23, if you have not read that book, you need to get the book and read it. In this, there is a description a shepherd calls a cast sheep, a C-A-S-T, cast sheep. It is when one of the sheep, when they are heavy and they're fat and they have long fleece and they need to be sheared, but it's not quite time yet, and they're just heavy laden with all of their own weight and their own prosperity and their own wool. And they will go into the field and they will lie down and get comfortable. And sheep will often find a little niche in the pasture, and they will hollow out themselves a little hole or depression in the ground. And they will get comfortable. Does that already sound like us? Amen? I'm not calling anybody fat. But I know some of y'all need to be sheared. Okay? Y'all are fluffy. Okay? And you like to find a little place and you don't want to be interrupted. You don't want the Lord to change anything. So you find this place and you hollow out you a little depression in the ground. And as you get comfortable, you kind of roll to one side or the other to stretch out and to relax. But with a sheep, suddenly, as this shepherd was describing it, he says, suddenly the center of gravity with your body shifts and it turns to one side far enough back that the feet no longer are really touching the ground. It may feel, or they may feel, a sense of panic. I know none of y'all panic about anything, do you? Because their feet can't really touch, they have a sense of panic and they start to paw frantically. Frequently, not all the time, but sometimes this panic and pawing makes it much worse. And it will make them roll over even further. Now, it is quite possible for the sheep to regain its feet if it were to stop before this and to gain it slowly by rolling back. But it gets panicked and it starts pawing and kicking and it actually rolls over. And because it rolls over, the gases in its stomach starts building up in its body. And the gases that are building up in the sheep's body actually starts cutting circulation off to the sheep. And it becomes a matter of life and death, literally within a few hours, if a sheep is not rolled back over and helped up. The sheep will pass in a few hours. The only way that this sheep can be restored is for the shepherd to come and lend a hand. He restores my soul. I will be honest with you guys. Sometimes I feel like a cast sheep. Right? I know that I am not alone. And we are spiritually, all of us, in some ways, if not many ways, all of us find ourselves spiritually on our back. And some of us are not only just on our back, but we are very close to spiritual death. The gases have built up. We are past the panic stage. Circulation has tightened in. We can't move our extremities anymore, and we are close to death. But Jesus. But Jesus. Our good shepherd. He comes at the nick of time and rolls me back over. As simple as an act as that is, we can't do it ourselves, right? And none of the other sheep can do this. But He can. And it seems time and time and time again in my life, right when I'm in a full-blown panic and I've lost all sense, our Lord, my shepherd, finds me and rolls me back over. Glory. Right? I mean, man, that makes me want to take off my socks and shoes and run around here for a little bit. That's glorious. That something is so simple for our Lord that I cannot do and no one else can do, our Lord does. I cannot tell you. Some of you know how many sleepless nights I've paced the floor begging God to help some of y'all, to help some of my children. Where you know sleep, what is sleep? What is eating? Where all you can say is, God help, God help. And He has restored my soul over and over. Amen. Glory. And it was so simple and easy. But because of my sin, in my panic, He has found me on the verge of death. There's a third thing that I want to show you. That we shall not lack guidance. Not only will He restore our soul, let's read the rest of verse 3. It says this. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. For His name's sake. Not for our name, but He leads us in these paths of righteousness and glory for His name. For His name. I shall not lack guidance. As I said earlier, sheep, they are the I probably needed to Google this and find, but from what I have read, they are so needy in when it comes to cattle that it's very hard to have a fold of sheep. You can never leave them. They are constantly at work. I remember one of the trips up the mountain in Honduras, and the grandchild, little girl, I can't even remember her name, she had some sheep she was watching, and she had to go to school. When she came back, one of her little lambs had passed, and she was just so broken. Do you remember that, Rodney? She was just so broken, and she was carrying it down from the mountain, and she was trying to bring it back to life. And Even though she had a small flock, it was her responsibility to watch. But she couldn't even leave, not just for a few hours, to go to school without the sheep getting into trouble and being so needy. But our shepherd will never leave us. Not even for good and great things. He will always be there. He will always bring guidance to us. Even when you wander, and you do wander, He will go get you. A shepherd will bring us, our shepherd will bring us to the best grazing land where there's plenty of water. And even though we may have the best of all things, even though He may give us everything we need, our hearts are, as the great hymn says, prone to wander. Right? We wander. Even when He provides all of these things. And you know why? Because we're creatures of habit. Do you know a shepherd has to constantly, and we saw this in Peru. I was wondering, why? I think that little girl was Elise. Was it Elise? Is that what, do you remember? You don't remember? Huh? Okay, that's what we called her, Elise. And I was wondering, why do they constantly move them around? And as I was reading this book, a shepherd has to move sheep around constantly because you know why? They get so comfortable where they're at, they get themselves in trouble even with laying down and wallowing out a hole. And so He has to move them from pasture to pasture to keep them dependent upon Him. To keep them looking to Him. You want to know why the Lord is doing something in your life and stirring up the pot? That's why. To remind you and me that we need Him. Amen? Because we're creatures of habit. And He's going to keep moving us. If He does not do this, then we'll stay in one place until every blade of grass is eaten and there's nothing left. He needs to lead us, right? Glory. We need Him to lead us. To get out of our comfort zone. To follow Him. To remember that we need to trust Him more than we trust ourselves. Isaiah 53, a passage we have recently covered. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says this. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Glory. So you shall not lack guidance. He will be there. He is there. Not will be there. He is there and will be there. To follow us through. Becca, when you go to New Hampshire, guess who will already be there? God. When we went to China, guess who was there? God. Our shepherd is there, right? Our job is to keep our gaze on Him, right? To watch Him, to follow Him, to be obedient to Him, to trust Him. You shall not lack guidance. There's something else that you won't lack, is you will not lack safety. Verse 4. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, I use Psalm 23. We use Psalm 23 very often to comfort those who are dying and family members that have faced death. And rightfully so. This Psalm, rightfully so, used in those situations. But this verse speaks of a shepherd's ability to protect his sheep in moments of danger. He moves the sheep, as we see, from pasture land to pasture land, to graze, to water. He moves them around. And so, because of this, we go through the shadow of death. We go through valleys that are low. And He takes us to pastures that are high. He does this in our lives for our good, to take us through broken times and to lift us up to high times. If we always stayed in the valley, we would die. If we always stayed on the mountaintop, we would die. If we always stayed in the perfect place that He lays out, we would die. But He moves us from place to place to place. And He promises us that we will be safe. It's important to see that God always has the right path. And the right path includes the valley of the shadow of death. All of this, name it and claim it, and you will live this prosperous life, and that is not what Scripture teaches. But it does teach us that God is with us all the time, and that He will safely bring us through. God gives us valleys to take us through, to show us who He is, to teach us in ways that we would otherwise not learn. Listen to me, believers. He brings us through brokenness to show us who He is, to teach us things about who the deepness. Michael remembers this when we buried Joy Bout and watching David and Brenda walk through that. And I thought, my goodness, how is this possible? And hearing David talk about joy now and saying it was the greatest gift God has ever given us. That's rough. He taught us more about who He was than if He would have done anything else in our lives. That's rough, guys. But He takes us through these valleys to show us who He is, right? Isn't that right? To remind us, to teach us, to show us new things, for us to see His face. And we will be safe if the shepherd is there. Keep the shepherd's presence near at all time. Keep your eyes, your ears on the one who leads, who protects and provides. I shall not lack safety. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what that says to me, verse 4? It says those who know the good shepherd are bulletproof. Right? What can be done? I will fear no evil. What can be done to us? Death? Guys, there's a whole lot worse things than death. Amen? Death? What do we have to fear if He is our shepherd? Truly, truly, what is there to fear? Losing everything? I shall not lack safety. Point number 5, and we're almost done. I shall not lack provision. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now, there are some that see verse 5 as a rabbit, that David is chasing a rabbit here. I don't, personally. There are some that look at this and say, you know, he's talking about a shepherd and sheep. And when he gets to verse 5, it switches over to, it's the same principle, but it switches over to somebody who has a household and is serving people, guests in their household. I see it a little bit different. I see it as preparing the tables, as, because he was just talking about being in the valley. I think he is now in verse 5 talking about the mesas, the top, the tables that you find on mountaintops. So he's still keeping this imagery of the shepherd taking care of the sheep. And when he says, I prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, that it's this table, this grazing land on top of the mountain. So he takes them literally from the valley to the top of the mountain and moving. And so it keeps this concept in the presence of my enemies, being on the open like that, on the top, the table. I thought about this when Beth and I went to the Grand Canyon and we stopped at Mesa Verde, green tables. The pastors and how the Native Indians would use that top of those flat at these places, literally, that God made on top of mountains, and how they would use it to help their cattle and the flocks that they had, and how they would move them back and forth. And you would think, how in the world did they get how'd they get them up there? And you know they didn't leave them up there, because the winter would what? Kill them. And how they would move them around back and forth. And being up on the top of that, listen, there's some eagles that will flat take a whole sheep. Mountain lions, bears, and buddy, and up on that flat, where's a sheep going to go? Right? You want to talk about being at its most vulnerable? Is up on those tables, preparing a table before my enemies. Amen? That it doesn't matter where you go. You could be facing front and center the gates of hell. And guess what? They will not prevail, right? And so he prepares a table before my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. You may think, well, what is that about? You know, shepherds often would take olive oil, but they would take other oils too and make a mixture, a balm, for bugs. Put medicine, cuts, Miss Donna would say, in your ears and in your salves, in your eyes to keep the gnats out of their eyes, and anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Often they would have to carry water to the top to help their flock drink. But a good shepherd does that. Amen? So in this place of many, many troubles, many enemies, he prepares it. He gets it ready. I don't know this to be the case. I've never seen this, but in my mind, and in my experience with my shepherd, our good shepherd, it seems like when he gets me to that top table, that it's already prepared, right? I'm scared to death. But when I get there, the table is laid out. The water, he's already got the water up there. He's already searched it out, walked, went to every corner and crevice and here's a spot right here that these sheep, that if they get too close, they'll fall. You know what? Put a boulder there. He's prepared the table before my enemies. Do you know what we have to do? It's real simple. Trust him. Right? Keep our eyes on him. Follow him. The club and the staff that comforted you in the valley is still the same one that's on the table before your enemies. Before your enemies. Right? Isn't this to me brings me great comfort. If you and I will allow God to lead us where He wills, we will find a table that has been prepared. He's already gone. If He's calling you to a place, guess what? He's already gone there, right? It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It nowhere in here does it say easy, right? Matter of fact, over and over I see we're constantly in trouble. And he's the one that constantly is saving, right? But that's what is so good about this. And when David is writing this, he's writing this deep. This is from a deep well in his heart. Deep wells. And last, but surely not least, point number 6. We shall not lack a home. Let's read it. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, after Hurricane Michael, I thought we were going to dwell here for a long time. And I thought about this verse. But there is something awfully comforting to come into the Lord's house and sit, isn't there? To just sit, to be with God's people, to stop all the craziness in the world, right? And to just sit down with His people. You shall not lack a home. Because He's always traveling, because the Lord is always moving, and He's moving His flock, looking for different places for us to feed, to water, to be protected, that He's always moving us. We long to stop and find a home. We do. But I can say this and say this, but you have to come to this understanding with your Lord. This is not our home. It's not. This is not our home. And as we look, we're going to get into, when I get back, 56 and 57 of Isaiah. If you look at the first two verses of Isaiah 57, it talks about one of the blessings, which is hard. This is a hard, there's a lot of preachers that would not teach on this, but one of the blessings of having a relationship with Jesus is that this is not our home, and that one day He's going to take us home. He's going to take us home. This is not it. And it's a blessing to leave this world. I'll tell you this, with all the craziness that's happened in the last few years, there's been many times that I've thought, as much as I miss my daddy, I've thought, Lord, I'm so glad that He hasn't had to just watch this foolishness. John chapter 14, which we've already touched on. John 14, and then we're going to leave. Three verses. 14, four verses. I'm going to read verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Now listen, In the Greek, where it says, you believe in God, believe also in me, you need to know this. This is not a conditional statement. It's an imperative statement. When it says, let not your heart be troubled, and it says, you believe in God, it doesn't say, if you believe in God. He's saying, believe in God. Believe God. Period. It's an imperative. Okay? It's a command. Believe God, believe also in me. So Jesus is telling His disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe God, believe me. This is what He said. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. That table, right? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Glory, right? That there is a place, and He is preparing it for us, and it's ours. And that is our home. And all of this stuff, all of this wood, all of this stubble, wood, hay, and stubble, will all pass away, right? Right? And all that will remain is the fine jewels of your faith. That's glorious, guys. But all these six things are contingent on one thing. On one thing. This is it. You ready? The Lord is my shepherd. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. Listen to me. You need a shepherd. Let me put it this way. We desperately need our shepherd, right? There's not one person, not one soul here that does not need Jesus as their shepherd. Nobody's more needy than anybody. All these sheep in the flock. Now, some of y'all, he's had to go get a few times. Okay? I know. But he brings you back, right? Every time. We need our shepherd desperately. Desperately. Let's do it. Let's do that. Need him. Watch him. Follow him. Keep your eyes on him. Don't get caught up in all your grazing that you forget to look up and you find yourself way off from the flock, right? The good news is he's going to come get you. But let's don't do that, right? Let's graze in what he's prepared and keep looking, keep watching. Graze a little bit and look up. Graze a little bit and look up, right? I love you guys. This is a psalm. This is the Word of God that we need to hold to dearly. And we need to walk out in this world with our heads high and not worrying, no panic, no stroke, right? Walk in this world and know that your God is on the throne. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that you are our shepherd. That you never leave us. You never forsake us. You are always there. Lord, forgive us when we get so caught up in ourselves that we wander from the fold. Help us, Lord. In Jude 24 and 25, it says this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and exceedingly joy, with exceedingly joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen.
Together and be dismissed. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above.